entertained? Are you not entertained?
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
You're listening to the French Press Podcast, where we discuss events from our lives. Welcome to the French Press Podcast. This is episode 144. I'm Ruben, and joining us in studio for another weird story from history is Mr. Dave.
Hello, everyone.
And Leighton is back as well.
Yep, and it's Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016.
We've got a bunch of different topics for you. Obviously, the weird story from history. I've got some tech tips for you, some websites that I'm excited about that I check out. And we've got the poll to go over, which it was about Leighton's What make a vehicle he should get, your favorite make a vehicle. We'll go over those. And then this weekend, or I guess this last week and a half, there was the Elkhart County Fair, which I've never done research to verify this, but I've heard it's the biggest county fair in all of the United States.
Oh, my.
Now, I don't know if it's true, but that's what people around here say. And then that's pretty much it. We're going to talk about the fair quite a bit.
Okay.
So I guess let's get started with our weird story from history.
All right. Well, today I want to talk about America's only emperor. And I'm not talking about Donald Trump. This took place back in the 1800s with a guy named Joshua Norton. Now, he was born in London sometime around 1818, grew up in South Africa. Around the age of 30, his father died, he inherited all this money, so he got on a boat and went to San Francisco. And so he was a fairly good marketer. He turned about $40,000 into $250,000, which back then is a pretty good sum of money. And so he was kind of looking for the next big thing to put his money into. Now, at the time, China was having a famine, and so they actually banned the export of rice because they needed it all for their country. And so since San Francisco got a lot of their rice from Asia, then he thought, hey, I'm going to, you know, try to corner the market here. So he heard of this ship bringing in a load from Peru. So he thought, I'm just going to buy all of it. So he spent, I think it was 20,000, something like that, bought the whole load of 100 tons of rice, hoping to corner the rice market in San Francisco. However, several other shiploads of rice came into port from other places around the world. So he lost most of his investment. And he obviously didn't like this idea. So he went into the courts trying to void the contract, trying to, you know, fight it. Say, oh, no, I didn't mean it, etc.
Because he also probably overpaid a little bit for that rice that he bought.
Right. He had bought it for like, I forget if it was like 12 cents a pound or something like that. And it went down to 3 cents a pound. Wow. So, you know, lost a lot of his investment. And so he actually spent several years fighting this, took it all the way up to the California Supreme Court, who finally ruled against him and said, no, you do have to pay this contract. And so to pay these debts, he had to go into foreclosure on his house, and he had to file for bankruptcy.
So it is a Donald Trump story.
Well, with a small loan of 100 tons of rice.
Well, so in 1859, he was so irked by this. So disgruntled. He felt like the legal, you know, and political structure had failed him. And so on September 17th of 1859, he took matters into his own hands and distributed letters to the various newspapers in San Francisco proclaiming himself the Emperor of these United States. So here's his statement. At the peremptory request and desire of a large majority of the citizens of these United States, I, Joshua Norton, formerly of Cape of Good Hope, and now for the last 9 years and 10 months of San Francisco, declare and proclaim myself Emperor of these United States, and in virtue of the authority thereby in me vested, do hereby order and direct the representatives of the different states of the Union to assemble in Musical Hall, and he gives the date of when they were supposed to all come and meet, then and there to make such alterations in the existing laws of the Union as may ameliorate the evils under which the country is laboring, and thereby cause confidence to exist, both at home and abroad, in our stability and integrity. And he signed it, Norton I, Emperor of the United States. Now, That does kind of sound like a Donald Trump statement.
A little bit. Like, he thinks that he is all that. He is worthy.
My favorite part is the desire of the majority of the citizens. Like, everybody wants me in charge. So, newspapers get this letter, and they printed it just because they thought it was funny. You know, just kind of comic effect. And so people started like, oh, have you, you know, heard about this Norton guy who thinks he's emperor? Well, anyways, he, you know, he's emperor now in his mind. And so in October of 1859, he issued a decree that formally abolished Congress. Just said, nope, we're done.
Congress.
In November of 1859, Congress hadn't obeyed his edict. So he issued another one. And this is from this edict. So he says, whereas a body of men calling themselves the National Congress are now in session in Washington City in violation of our imperial edict, declaring the said Congress abolished, whereas it is necessary for the repose of our empire that the said decree should be strictly complied with. Therefore, we do order and direct Major General Scott, the Command-in-Chief of our armies, immediately upon receipt of this, our decree, to proceed with suitable force and clear the halls of Congress.
And was this General Scott the general of the U.S. Army?
I think so.
Okay.
He was telling the general of the U.S. Army to storm Congress.
Right. Storm, clear the halls
of Congress. And like, escort them out.
Exactly.
Like, oh, wow. Okay.
Well, of course, Congress and the Army failed to follow his orders. So in 1860, he said, fine, and he issued a decree that abolished the Republican general. He said, all right, America's done. You're done. And you former congressmen cannot get together. No more assembly. No. The Republic is abolished. All right, so 1862. Now, this is kind of the highlights. 1862, obviously the middle of the Civil War. And so in hopes in kind of calming these disputes and being the emperor, he wants to, you know, end this war. So he ordered the Catholic Church and Protestant churches to publicly ordain him as emperor to give him some, you know, credibility. didn't work out for him. So throughout the 1860s, he worked on other things. By 1869, he was fed up with politics in general, so he abolished the Democratic and the Republican parties. Those are gone. Now, he was really passionate about San Francisco. In 1872, he issued this decree. Whoever, after due and proper warning, shall be heard to utter the abominable word Frisco, which has no linguistic or other warrant, shall be deemed guilty of a high misdemeanor and shall pay into the imperial treasury as penalty the sum of $25.
And this was some kind of slang word to mean a San Franciscan
right.
type person.
Right. So, you know, the word Frisco, a short term for San Francisco.
Okay.
Totally he just didn't out. Like it, so we're going to get rid of it.
Exactly.
Or you're
exactly.
going it's illegal. It
right.
is now illegal to say that.
And it costs $25.
Oh, my word.
Now, a few of his ideas were good. He was a proponent of a League of Nations or United Nations. Now, whether or not we think that's a good idea is debatable, but it is something that the United States ended up doing 60-ish years later. So he was a little bit, well, I take that back, maybe 40 years later. So he was a little bit ahead of his time there. Mm. And he also wanted to build a bridge or a tunnel from San Francisco to Oakland, which later on they would do. It's the Bay Bridge. And he also got increasingly frustrated that they weren't following his orders. He's making all these decrees, and nobody's following him. So here's another one, just part of a decree. Whereas the said citizens have hitherto neglected to notice our said decree, and whereas we are determined our authority shall be fully respected, now therefore we do hereby command the arrest by the army of both the boards of the city fathers if they persist in neglecting our decrees. So the city was not listening to him. Army needs to go in and arrest them too.
Okay, was this at all in satire?
No, he was, I'm convinced he was mostly convinced that this was his reality.
Like,
you know.
He thought that he had authority.
Right, absolutely. He would spend most days, he had a fancy blue uniform, and I will send you a pic, we can get it on the website. A blue uniform with like the gold epaulettes, the shoulder things. He had a beaver hat that had a peacock plume. And he would march around the city with a, you know, walking stick, cane, umbrella, something. He would inspect the city. Cable cars, sidewalks, public property. He would inspect the appearance of the police officers, you know, like make sure they were looking good. And he would also, this is from Wikipedia, he would give lengthy philosophical expositions to anyone within earshot. So basically your typical kind of power-hungry, insane guy walking around inspecting things.
That's awesome.
Talking to people about anything.
It probably made him more crazy. If he thought that he had legitimate authority mm-hmm. and people weren't listening, it probably just made him more crazy and upset.
Absolutely.
Vocal.
But people, here's the thing. People actually really loved him. They saw that he was passionate about the city and meant well. And so he kind of became a folk hero to the people of San Francisco. Even though he was poor, all the good, nice restaurants would like let him in to come in and eat. Sometimes he even brought his dogs in and they would eat with him at these restaurants.
They're almost enabling him.
Oh, absolutely.
By making him feel like he's being catered to. Like, right. Oh, yes, I am the emperor.
And they would even put like a plaque on the door. Like that he had been there or that he liked their restaurant. If you were going to have a play or a musical, they would reserve him a private box because he would hand out these imperial seals of approval to people. And those, like, everybody wanted to have one. That's just the city just kind of adopted him and like you said, enabled him to get this power. In 1867, a policeman tried to arrest him and take him to an insane asylum. But, of course, the people freaked out. There was public outcry, and the police actually offered a public apology him, you know, saying, hey, we're sorry that we thought you were crazy. In fact, issued then an imperial pardon to the cop. And after that incident, all police officers would salute him as he walked by. Now, like you said, he was fairly insane. In the 1870 census, his occupation was listed as emperor, but then the census taker like checked the little box that says mentally insane. So, yeah.
But so he was completely normal though up until he had the financial crisis with the rice, mm-hmm. and that just kind of something snapped.
I think it just kind of took him over the edge, going through the courts for several years, you know, losing that much money, losing all of his possessions. And feeling taken advantage of by the government. He one of the other things that he did was he actually issued his own money, you know, as
like his own currency.
Right. So it was in denominations from 50 cents to $10, and it actually in San Francisco became an accepted currency to people in San Francisco. Like they would accept Norton bucks.
Norton bucks.
So it was paper. It was paper money.
I think so. I think it was.
Hold
it. So like I said, they really loved him. In 1880, he collapsed on a street corner and died. And newspapers declared that, you know, the king was dead. It was a big deal in the city. He had well-wishers get together and pay for a nice funeral because he was pretty much poor, destitute. And as many as 10,000 people lined the streets for his funeral procession, which was about 2 miles long.
Wow.
Of people marching through. So after he died, you know, they went through his belongings, where he was staying. They found all he had was about $10 in various currency. His collection of walking sticks, various hats of different styles that he had collected. He also had made fake telegrams from various nobles congratulating him on his upcoming marriage to Queen Victoria. And he also had a fake telegram from the president of France that was condemning the action and saying that would, like, throw the world into chaos.
Oh, my word.
He also had, they found a handful of these bonds, like imperial bonds, that he would sell to unsuspecting tourists that would get this like crazy high interest rate. So he'd sell these bonds off to, you know, tourists.
Brilliant.
And make money, which is a pretty good idea. Anyways, now since his death, which was in 1880, actually various groups have petitioned that all of the bridge or parts of the Bay Bridge would be renamed in his honor. And they are still continuing to work on that today. So in honor of the first emperor of America, Joshua Norton.
Very good.
That is interesting. I wonder, like, do you think that one of us could do that in Napanee? Like, just...
I think you could do it.
You think that I could walk around
yeah.
inspecting different places?
You would need a hat
right.
and some kind of uniform.
I do like the idea of, like, restaurants just giving me free food and putting plaques on their doors that says that I ate there. This is French press approved.
The problem is, in Napanee, I mean, unless you go back to the same restaurant, you'd only be eating for about a week.
You're right. That is a problem.
You know, you could print up French press approved stickers.
Maybe the French press should have its own currency. French bucks.
We can work something out.
I it's just IOUs on sticky notes. That's perfect.
Mr. Dave, you've come on a lot already. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you want to plug that would help you in some way?
UCS, I guess. Okay. We are always looking for more students, and the more students we have, the more we can provide a more excellent education. Through the quality of our teachers, through the quality of our buildings and supplies, and, you know, yeah, send your kids to UCS.
Okay.
Cool.
I have a feeling that most of the people listening
probably
don't have
do.
Kids yet.
Or don't have kids.
But hey, this is like a long-term investment.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Gotta look to the future, you know.
Also, if you're interested in teaching, we may still have openings for the upcoming year, so,
oh.
you know.
Oh, my.
Please get a hold of us ASAP.
Well, Layton's right here, so.
I've tried.
Yeah.
Okay, let's look at the poll from last week. Layton, what kind of car should Layton get? And this time, I did not vote. I didn't taint the results.
I didn't either.
I did.
Oh, okay.
All right. We do have a tie.
Oh, shoot.
GM and Honda are tied.
Oh, no.
At 33%. And then Ford's in second place at 22%. Toyota at 11% and Chrysler at 0%.
Well, at least I don't have to get a Chrysler.
You still don't have a vehicle. What's your time frame for getting one?
My time frame is when a good enough deal comes along. Which we might be waiting for like another month or two. I don't know. It just all depends.
In the meantime, you could get a motorcycle.
I've been wanting to.
Or like a Vespa or something.
Right.
Just a little scooter.
I mean, I don't think that I can get a very... I want to get a cruiser. Like, not a crotch rocket. But I feel like most cruisers are just too big for me.
There's bikes that are small. Kyle's isn't that big.
I would say Kyle's a pretty big one.
His sits high, but it's not that big.
I think that it is that big. I think that he just makes it look small.
I was going to say, in relation to the person riding the bike,
right?
There's a difference there.
Like, when I ride one of those like little like tricycles, that like the Tonka tricycles that kids ride around in, when I sit in one of those things, it looks like a full-blown recliner when I sit in one of those. And so I can only imagine what a life-sized motorcycle would look like with me. So it's going to be, yeah, that's also a hunt that's going to take a while.
All right, well, I've got some tech tips. As many of you know, at least if you have an iPhone, the new iPhone typically gets released in the fall. Well, there's this website that I love for just keeping track of when the new iPhone is coming out, what the rumors are, and it's also related to other Apple products like MacBook Pros, Apple TVs, etc. And if you just Google, the website is macrumors.com, but that won't take you to the correct page. If you just Google Mac Buyer's Guide, the first result you get will be the one you're looking for. If you click on it, and their website, I love the layout of the website because it's easy to find. Well, I'm interested in the iPhone or the iPad or the MacBook Pros or whatever. And it just gives a list of recent rumors beside each product line. And it's not like the rumors, it's not like daily updates. So it needs to be a pretty legitimate rumor before they'll list it there, then have an article about it. But what's beautiful about it, and I'll turn this so Mr. Dave can see it, they'll show, this is for the iPad Pro. they'll show the days since the last release, and you can see it's been 132 days. You can see the average between releases, and it goes back 5 years or so. Okay. And so you get a good idea of what's typical. Mm-hmm. And some of them, for the MacBook Pro, the Retina one, it's way, way past due for an update. If you click on the Mac tab over here, it's been 441 days since the last update, and the average is 268. I'm holding out for that new Mac to come on. If you're if you're interested in buying a Mac, definitely wait, because even if you don't want the newest one, the older models will become a lot cheaper, mm-hmm. and it'll still be new. It'll just be the old processors and graphics, etc.
Right. I love how they just have you hit the iPhone, iPad, iPod tab, and then it shows like an iPhone, an iPad Pro, and a smaller iPad Pro, and then an iPad Mini, and like an iPod Touch and an iPod Shuffle. It like has them all lined up, and then it says like either buy now or don't buy or neutral, which I take that to mean like buy it if you want it. Eh.
It's usually in the middle of the normal
cycle of of coming out with a new model. Okay, but they lay it out very nicely,
and it is especially nice for the phones and the iPads because those typically get updated once a year. Mm-hmm. And so if you're thinking about buying one, just check it out, because then you can see, well, the new one's coming out probably in a month from now, or it's just got updated 2 months ago. I may as well get it now. So, especially when it gets close to the time of the new releases, I do check this website about every day.
Really?
So. Are you somebody that updates their products pretty much every cycle?
Not the iPad, but the iPhone I do, and the Mac I don't either. I keep it for several years. But I do like to see when the new one's going to be released. Or basically, when I'm ready to buy one, I usually wait and see where it's at.
Right. Which, Ruben, also, in your job, though, like, you're an IT guy, and so it's good for you to stay up to date so that you know what to tell people. Like, if they ask you, like, hey, should I buy a Mac right now? And you'd be like, no. It's like, because I got this website that says don't buy right here. Well, what about an iPad? Well, you got caution on there. Tread softly there. You can if you want, but they might come out with a new one pretty soon here. It's up to you. It's at your own risk.
Have you guys heard the emoji news that just came out in the last day or two?
No.
Apple has been discussing, and probably in the next, I think in the update that comes out in September, probably with the new phone, they're going to be switching the pistol emoji into like a little squirt gun.
No.
Emoji. So they're taking away, you will no longer be able to send a picture of a little pistol to your friends. It's now going to be a squirt gun. And they've also made some other politically correct changes. Some more of the occupations can now be women as well. Good. And I think some of the like the outdoorsy, like sporting emojis are now, it's a woman riding a bike. Great.
Oh, good.
Just blesses my heart. Anyways.
I can't wait. Is there already like an emoji keyboard for like just guns? Surely there is. If there's not already, there's going to be.
The NRA keyboard.
Yes, exactly. They have like every single type of gun and every different like ammo you could possibly think of.
Well, I saw in the same article that a few years ago, a rifle emoji had come up for Apple's like consideration, and it was quickly shot down.
Shot down. caution.
But I bet you're right. I would not be surprised at all if there is a firearm keyboard coming up.
Oh, it should be. We should be.
Of course, that could be blocked by the App Store as well.
Should we have a French press keyboard?
I don't know how to make one.
Okay.
It seems impossible.
It probably is.
I feel I'm great at shooting down ideas.
Yeah, you are. But I mean, it's good to dream. You have to shoot for the stars so you can land on the moon. I made that up.
Let's talk about this weekend, Elkhart County Fair. And it's a big event. Like I said, the biggest one in the country as far as county fairs are concerned. We'll go with that. I don't know if it's true.
I think it's somewhere in the top five. I'm pretty sure that like Orange County in California, there's a couple that are, but it is very large.
I figured Texas, there's got to be one in Texas that's just huge.
Have either of you guys been to the state fair?
No.
Okay. I mean, it's been a while since I was down there, but it really, I mean, Indiana's, I don't know, between that and Elkhart County Fair, there's not a huge difference. Now, obviously, they would have a few like larger arenas and things down there, but size-wise, you know, we have a huge fair. That's probably rivals some states' state fairs. So.
And when you say that, I'm shocked because I don't think of the Elkhart County Fair as that big. But I guess I'm just used to it.
Right.
I've just
I mean, have you been to other county fairs around here?
No, but okay. When I think of like the Apple Festival, there's tourists that come, but it's mm-hmm. Napanee.
Right.
And then I'm thinking of, well, Elkhart County, of course, is going to be a lot bigger than that. And then when you think of, well, there's a state fair for Maryland, I would just assume mm-hmm. that it draws a lot more people.
Right.
But, yeah.
Well, especially Maryland. I'm looking at a list of like top 50 fairs and
county fairs.
There's some county fairs listed on here, all like alongside state fairs. But the Elkhart County Fair is not listed as one of them. And because there are county fairs that are on this list.
Did you Google, is Elkhart County Fair one of the biggest in the country?
No,
I'm guessing that would probably bring you up a more favorable search result.
Well, it'll...
biased. We're out. Thanks for joining us.
If you just look up top 50 fairs in America, then I feel like the Elkhart County Fair should show up.
So maybe we're biased.
I think we're biased. Probably. But it is a sizable fair. Anyways.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
The Derby was Saturday night. You just got home a week or two ago.
Yeah, I got home last Sunday.
And you had made a point a few weeks ago when you were still in service that this is something you wanted to do. You wanted to go to the Derby.
Yes.
And I haven't been to the fair in several years, probably 5 years. And I used to go usually for a day or two with some of my friends back in high school.
Yeah.
And I just haven't been there the last while. But what made you really want to go back to the fair?
Well, every year I try to go to the Derby. I mean, that is like the one event for me. That is like, I need to, like, this is worth putting up with terrible food prices, sweaty people, terrible smells from those sweaty people, and putting up with very uncomfortable seats.
I was going to say, are you one of those people that goes at noon and lays out their blankets and sits there all day, or
no.
How do you handle the seating?
I'm the guy who's like, hey, you want to save me a seat? Awesome.
I do hate those people, but I actually ended up being that person this last time.
But we got there like an hour early, and we got tolerable seats.
Oh, it was very decent.
Yeah, like we were able to, we saw like some cars, but they were only in the parking lot. Like we didn't see any in the Derby. No, we saw, it was fine. And the Derby, by the way, was quite exceptional.
I really enjoyed it. I've never stayed for as much of the Derby as I stayed for.
Okay.
I just stayed for the first round, the first time I was there.
Mm-hmm.
But I really enjoyed it. I didn't know that it was typical that they burst into flames.
Oh, yeah.
Nice. You didn't know that either.
No.
See, now you'd be a fan.
I must have went to a subpar Derby. I went one time to the Derby, but I don't know, crowds. We ended up kind of sitting like below the fence line.
Oh.
So you were kind of looking through the fence, and I don't know. To me, I was like, it's not worth, you know, trying to save seats for 4 hours to.
Yeah.
See, do the Derby.
I'm with you too. I hate spending time waiting.
Mm-hmm.
It's just,
I'm willing to if I'm really excited about the event. Like I not as much anymore, but in my younger days I was that guy who was like, I will go 2 hours early and save 30 people seats. And then the older I got, the more I was like, no, if you guys want to get here early, that's fine.
But okay, let's talk a little bit about saving seats.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's wrong. You did it for me. I don't think it's wrong in a moral sense. Mm-hmm. But I think I hate going anywhere and like, yeah, this seat's reserved. I mean, if it's just one seat.
You hate
seat,
telling people that you're saving a seat.
Yeah.
Or what if you just put an object there?
Just put blankets out. Okay, so case in point, at Fairfield High School, you can back when they were better than they are now, the football team, you could pretty much guarantee that the top three or four rows of bleachers, even from the night before, would just have blankets on them or plastic, like taped down. And nobody was necessarily sitting there the whole time. It was just like, hey, this blanket's here. You respect it. And you sit somewhere else. Is that
right, wrong? I would be fine if someone would go and move the blanket and just sit right there.
Well, see, to me,
lovely. They provided a softer cushion.
But see, to me, there's something beautiful about living in a community where people respect that. Now, I understand that that's annoying. It can be. Well, but I'm also this is like we're all respecting this. And so if you want to get that really good seat, then you can show up super early and put your blanket down. But what
happens when 100 people go and reserve the entire seating area?
Well, see, that'll never happen. They don't do that. There's no There aren't 100 people in this world that are that dedicated to something.
Well, there's probably like five to 10 people that do that. But if there would be 100 people that would be that way, then where would you sit?
Well, you would say, hey,
on the court. You sit on the court
in protest.
Yes.
Well, the thing is too, like with that situation, I don't know if you guys have been to Fairfield's football stadium, but it's
not.
Literally the only place that you can see over the players' heads is like the top four or five rows. So people tend to be a little bit more proactive about it because of the situation. Mm-hmm. It's not one of those where all of the seats are very elevated. So I think there's a bit of a difference, but.
Anyway, we got off on a tangent. Well, I got there probably a minute or two before the Derby started.
Right.
I'd been in Chicago that day.
Mm. Bless your heart. You did so much traveling that day.
I did.
And with very little rest.
Oh, I was tired.
I could tell.
It was a motorcycle trip up to Chicago. We went and visited a Persian restaurant, and it was in a part of Chicago I've never been at. It was north of downtown, but it was still close to the lake. Mm-hmm. And it was a beautiful area, and the food was amazing. I don't remember what it was called, but I'll put it in the show notes and on the website. I did leave a review.
On what?
On the restaurant.
You left a review on what website?
He just wrote it on the side of the wall in the restaurant, like I gave 4 stars.
Ruben Hostetler says, good job.
No, I just left them a sticker with my approval.
Of course. It's just like those Branson shows. They always have billboards for their shows, and they're always like, Simon Cowell says, great show. Or like Regis Philbin says, I loved it. Ruben Hostetler says, not bad.
If you would keep on talking, I would look it up.
Okay.
It was like Aziz.
Leighton Yoder says, it's Tuesday, August 2nd, 2016. I'm still trying to fill up time for you, Ruben.
I know.
Help me out, bro. Send me a lifeline.
Can I just throw in you asked what I was plugging. Have either of you guys done the RV Hall of Fame tour? Have you been there?
No.
You should go. It's actually pretty cool. They have a large,
where is it?
It's up in, well, it's where County Road 17 hits the toll road, basically. So it's kind of up in the Bristol-y area.
Sorry, keep going.
Anyways.
I have something about that County Road 17 and
okay.
to the toll road.
Okay, so it's called the RVMH Hall of Fame. It's basically the Mobile Homes and RVs Hall of Fame. And so I've been kind of trying to research some places for field trips. And so Steph and I went there the other day. It kind of has the largest, most entertaining area, I guess, was basically a tour through probably 50 to 60 old motorhomes. Some of the original ones by, some of the founders. It has Virgil Miller, who's Newmar, his personal motorhome from the 1970s. And most of them, you can actually go in and tour. So it's kind of cool. You can see the evolution of the various ideas, the styles from the era, just a lot of different types of things. So, it was pretty cool. And then at the end, they had a few new ones. It would have been interesting to see a little more of the newer ones, just to kind of see all the cool things that they have. Yeah, it was pretty interesting. So
you have two. It's really cool because you have two things that are like evolving this thing called a motor home. You have like vehicles,
right,
and then you also have homes. And so like the home decor would change, You have like home decor changing as time goes on, but you also have like the exterior of the vehicle also changing.
Right, and the styles and things.
That's crazy. I mean, that is really cool.
Do you want to be one of our chaperones when we go?
I'm busy. But okay. I do want to go in my spare time.
There you go. You should go.
When are you guys going?
September 23rd.
I'm busy.
Okay. How long did the tour take?
For us, it probably took an hour. They have a couple other smaller areas, like the actual Hall of Fame with the plaques and a few things about like mobile homes. That's kind of secondary to the RV section. So, yeah, it took us about an hour. I think it's around $10, so it's, you know, it's not cheap, but it was still, I felt like it was a good value.
I actually really, really want to go. I'm going to see if I can get off work.
That'd be fun.
But I'm just so needed at work that I doubt I can. Oh, I'll see what I can do. Oh, yeah. It's so annoying being needed.
Anyway, I did find that restaurant.
Oh, okay.
It's called Rezaz, R-E-Z-A apostrophe S restaurant, Rezaz restaurant. It was on Saturdays and Sundays, they had buffet. Mm. And it was really good. They had lamb, chicken, beef. Oh, man. Oh, I forgot. I haven't eaten a whole lot of dessert the last while. But when there's something new like this, I like to try it out. They almost looked like the Mexican cinnamon twisted things you used to be able to get. Maybe you can still get them.
Like a churro?
Almost like a churro. Kind of thing. It was shaped like that, except it was soft. And it tasted... It was very fluffy, too. It tasted as if it had just been dipped in honey and pulled out. So basically, it was like tasting pure honey and a little bit of a pastry flavor. But it was like an angel's wing.
It's what you think you would taste if you bit into an angel's wing.
Soft, sweet, heavenly.
Sure.
Okay.
Feathery.
Did you like, so how many angels' wings did you have to clip in order for me to get this?
I should mention this too. Our church has an MC, a motorcycle club.
Oh, okay.
Slight exaggeration. But no, I went up with a group of guys from church.
What's the club called?
Solid.
Is it Solid Rock Bikers?
It is. How'd you know that?
I think I saw that group on your phone. And I remember thinking, man, if I had a bike, I might be able to halfway be in that club, even though I don't go to your church.
You can be part of it. There's other people that are in that club that aren't affiliated.
Members, okay.
But there was a group of 12 bikes that went up there, and it was fun. And in fact, our leader was a guy from Syria. He recently became a Christian, recently within the past year, 2 years. And this is one of his favorite Persian restaurants. And so he isn't on a motorcycle. He's on a moped that has 600cc, so it gets up and goes.
Okay.
And normally when you go in a group like this, it's pretty slow. You usually go as slow as the slowest vehicle on the road, because whenever you pass someone, it's always, even on a four-lane highway, it's still
a hassle
to get
for
around.
For the entire group to fish.
So usually you're the slowest vehicle on the road. However... We were running a little bit late. We were supposed to be there at 11, and we were a little bit behind schedule. But even we took a US 6 to Chicago. So a lot of the way we were on just a two-lane road.
Wow!
And even on a two-lane road, he was still whipping around, passing vehicles, and he.
He's from Syria, so he's probably used to third-world driving.
But we were zipping through traffic, and not everybody. Not nearly everyone had the GPS programmed in to where we were going, so we didn't really know exactly where we were going.
Well, that's perfect. It forces people to, follow.
So basically, you just try to make sure that you're within about a bike's length of the next bike in front of you so that, I mean, the guys behind me might get lost, but I'm not at least I've got one other person with me.
Right.
That's great. The buddy system. You need to use the buddy system.
But it was a blast. It's always kind of... It's a lot of work. I mean, it took a whole day, pretty much. Mm. We left at 8:45, didn't get back till I was at the fair at 7.
7, yeah.
A little bit after 7.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a long day. But it is just, And we had one vehicle or one motorcycle broke down too that cost about half an hour, 45 minutes. But it's still just, it's just fun. You feel like you're part of you're part of something. You feel connected.
That's good.
Anyway, actually, I say all that. Really, what I wanted to say was we took the toll road at some point.
Okay.
And some of the guys had the easy pass where they could just kind of drive through. And after this trip, I decided I will be getting one as well because it's just, it's not even expensive. I didn't know this, but it's cheap. Pretty much you just pay for the toll, and they give you the device pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't have that. So I'd go up, get a ticket, and then everyone would, so we could stay in a group, everyone would go through the toll, then pull off to the side. Mm-hmm. Then once we'd all be through, then we'd all take off. Well, to go through as fast as possible, I'd stick the ticket in my mouth and then drive on over. And then when I'd be in line to go, when we'd be going through again to get off the toll road, I would, when we'd be stopped, I'd put the ticket in my mouth with my credit card and have my wallet kind of strapped away because, you know, you don't want things being loose or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I pulled up to the clerk or whatever the person's called, pulled the ticket out of my mouth, handed it to her. And that's when I realized that my stick of gum was also on the ticket.
And she probably just like, she took the ticket and she like put it in her mouth, like closed her mouth around the piece of gum and then slid it out and used her teeth to like
make that scratching
sound.
Like,
filter the gum off, like scrape the gum off of the ticket, and she started chewing it too.
And that's all the payment you need, sir. Have a nice day.
She was disgusted. I mean, not to the point where I was embarrassed, but we both laughed about it. But it was like she was taken aback, surprised.
I'm sure she was.
Anyway.
Couldn't you just, like, with the easy pass, couldn't you just, like, have two motorcycles kind of go through at the same time and just count as, like, one car? Because it's four wheels, couple people.
We talked about it, but then one of the guys said they actually do take a picture of your license plate.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
And so we thought, well, it might just add to the confusion. And we didn't have enough easy passes that it would have been half the people.
Gotcha.
So some people would have had to go through anyway.
If everybody would have had easy pass, like, it probably would have sped up the trip quite a bit, a little bit.
Would have saved at least half an hour.
Wow. Yeah. But even if one person doesn't have an easy pass, that messes it all up.
Yeah.
Come on, people. Get easy passes. It's easy.
Layton, do you have an easy pass?
I think my parents do. I didn't with my car. But I heard even if you do go through an easy pass thing and don't have the easy pass on your vehicle, like, they'll still, like, take a picture of your license plate, and they'll know who to bill it to.
Yeah, so that's why I don't understand. Why is there even like a cash system?
Exactly.
Why not, like, just drive through it and let them send a bill?
It's either like pay now. There should be a pay now lane or a pay later lane. Like that's the only two lanes instead of this cash only lane and easy pass lane.
Yeah.
Smart.
Anyway,
when you become emperor, you can make those changes.
Although we would save a lot of money by not having to mail the bill. Like, I mean, because if everybody took that pay later lane.
Okay, that's true, but I'm pretty sure they have access to your email through registering with the BMV.
Oh.
I know I get emails from the BMV. Do you guys?
No.
I think I do because I think I paid online maybe once.
Well, I don't check my email. Speaking of which, I think I'm getting close to 1,000 unreads. I'm so excited.
But if you're in Chicago, mm-hmm, and you like to taste different foods or see a different part of Chicago, because every other time I've gone to the downtown area, mm-hmm, which is great, it's fun, but this was just, it was just different. It was almost like a quaint little small town feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just look up the restaurant Rizzi's, and you can check it out if you're interested.
Yeah, and if you're interested, I'm at 993 unread emails.
I'm at 2,700.
Okay.
Do you only have... You just really burst my bubble there, man. Taking the wind out of my sails.
It's all for my, like, kind of junk spammy.
I just need to subscribe
account
to more stuff I don't care about so that separate, I can catch up with you.
You have two separate accounts.
I do, and the 2,700, like, built up a long time ago, so it's nothing current. Like, I don't know how it all built up, but it did. It's been there a long time at that same number.
But you have it on your... You have an iPhone, right?
Right.
You have it on your iPhone app where it says 1,400 or 4,000, whatever it was.
No, because it's in like a backup Gmail account, so it's not actually the one that's registered to the phone.
Okay.
But if I go in, like, I can look at it, but it doesn't have that red button. If it did have the red thing saying, like, 2,700 whatever, that would drive me nuts, and I would delete it. So.
Well, one other way to do that is if you have, like, your junk or your shopping email address, mm-hmm. don't sign in with the mail app in the settings. Just use the Gmail app itself, and then you can just turn off those badge items as well. Just,
covered so much. What are we at, Ruben?
Well, I still don't think we talked about the Derby a whole lot. There was fire.
Yeah, there's fire. You showed up at 7, and it started off like fairly exciting. Like, oh, like how many heats did we watch in total? Like maybe 6?
Oh, yeah, at least 6.
6 heats. And they started off with like small cars. And then they did mid-sized sedans, and then they did trucks.
I didn't stay for the trucks.
Yes, you did.
They call those trucks?
The pickup trucks.
I didn't see a pickup truck.
What did you see?
With the firefighter people, they had a little bit bigger cars. I think they said those were 6-cylinder vehicles.
Right.
They looked heavier, because when they hit, there was more of a crunch.
You watched the trucks. You saw the... Did you not see the guy propose?
Oh, that's right. Yes, I did. Yeah, yeah.
Because I remember immediately after the trucks heat was over, then you were like, I'm going to go.
Okay, that is right. I did see the trucks.
But overall, it was pretty exciting. There, at one point, a dude was trying to ram somebody, at, like somebody's front end. And instead of like ramming them, he actually like drove up on top of him. This was in the mid-size sedans class. And drove up on top, but only like half the vehicle. Like went up, so like the right side of the vehicle went up on top of the hood, and he almost flipped, not quite, and just kept right on going, and just went, didn't even like go down the other side, kind of like glanced off, off of the windshield, nice. And just kept right on driving. Well, it was so awesome.
Didn't he almost freeze right when he was on top of it? It felt like. It almost kind of stopped. He stopped for a second.
And probably got scared.
And then there weren't any flags. There's referees there with green flags and red flags.
Yeah.
There weren't any flags. Then it just seemed like he drove off the other car.
Mm-hmm. And also, it's amazing how something like that, like watching carnage, like cars ramming into each other, like brings out like the the carnal side of people.
At some point, people were chanting.
Oh, yeah, they're chanting and lots of yelling, which is great. I mean, you know, it's good that they're getting into it. But when they're yelling things like, finish him! Rip his tires off! End him! Like, just, it's like, man, lady, please, we're trying to. This is just bumper cars. Chill out. I mean, come on. This guy just proposed to his wife, and she said yes. I mean, don't you want him to live? Ah.
Would you guys ever do that? Obviously, you already proposed.
Yell, finish him.
No. Would you ever propose to your girlfriend in like a public event like that?
It would have to be like a really, really classy public event, like.
I think it depends a lot.
Think of one.
I think it depends a lot on the girl. Like some of them would absolutely hate it. Some of them would love the attention. You know, so you really have to know. Like, yeah, get to know them, figure out what they like. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would maybe, but it would have to be like I wouldn't want to propose in such a way. That everybody would be looking at us. Like, I think it would almost be better, like, if we're, like, kind of watching an event from afar off, and, like, we're still, like, having our own private thing going on.
So, like, fireworks, maybe.
Exactly, going on in the background or something like that.
Well, I fully believe in making it a big deal and doing it well. You just, like, like you said, not, like, at a public event with everyone.
Where everyone... I don't want to be the spectacle.
About your proposal.
Okay. Well,
so Sorry.
Well, so I kind of designed a scavenger hunt, treasure hunt type of thing. So I'd lied to her and told her, hey, I'm going to pick you up at this time to go do this thing, you know, whatever. And so when the time came, I had various people around at various sites with like roses to give to her.
Okay.
So she, like her sister had the first one and then a clue. So she went to like the coffee shop where we had our first date with her sister. And then she... We went on a first date
with her sister.
With her sister, like I was not with her at the time.
Oh, okay.
Like I was surprised at the end of the scavenger hunt.
Right.
Anyway, so yeah, we did that. I had her sister from New York, like come in secretly on the train to surprise her, and so they went to a play because like for one of our first Valentine's Day dates, we went to this play. And anyways, so
you're real romantic.
Well, yeah, kind of. And I had been thinking about it for a while, but it really worked out well. Like, there was a play at Bethel College, the same place that we had went. And then, yeah, so her sister was there with, I think there's probably more flowers, we had worked together at a place in Wakarusa. So somebody met her there with flowers at school, because we had some deep talks there. That's kind of our story. And at Main Street, like, her... Actually, my sisters and her mom, and anyways, a bunch of people got her more flowers. And anyways, then ended up finally meeting her then at the Baker's Nook Cafe, where we had worked together for a couple years.
Okay.
So anyways, that's where I was.
Now, did she know that something's leading up here? Was she at all suspecting that you would propose?
No. It's kind of we were planning to go to a concert like a couple months later.
Okay.
That we had gone to the same concert, and that's when I asked her out the first time.
Okay.
So she was like, oh, he's making this big deal about going to this concert, so that's when. So she really didn't, she really wasn't suspecting it that day. I mean, once stuff started getting rolling, she did. And it would have been fun to just be a total surprise, but I also wanted to do
make
kind
it
of,
special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kind of take her through what our journey
just because was, she, so. Just because she sees it leading up doesn't take away the magic of the moment.
Right. Right, so yeah, it was good.
Well, good for you. Yeah, you've set a high bar for all the listeners to. It just needs to be aspired. Thoughtful. It doesn't all need to be that extravagant.
It doesn't have to be giant, but
it doesn't have to be extravagant, but it does have to be thoughtful.
Exactly, exactly.
You did it here. I just said that, right?
But it sounded better when I said it.
Well, and you can only say it.
I kind of wrapped it up. You know, like I put it into like a fortune cookie statement. You kind of put it in like a sort of essay
like
statement. Like, oh, I should maybe highlight that in a book. But now you can highlight it in a fortune cookie.
Absolutely.
You're welcome.
You can only do it one time. Well, hopefully you only have to do it once. And... You
know it's bad when you're cracking yourself up.
I was just thinking about, like, yeah, you totally said that. And I totally just rephrased. I right? just basically said the same thing.
Anyways. Yeah.
Well, we did have a single, an anonymous single thought that came in, but we don't have Eric here to play the music for us, and so we're going to save it for next week. But if you have a single thought, you can email it, mail@frenchpresspodcast.com, or send a message on Facebook as well.
And if you don't know what a single thought is, what like the definition would be like a thought that comes to you about being single that really depresses you.
Yeah, and I don't think, I mean, ideally it would be depressing.
Right.
But it wouldn't have to be depressing.
It doesn't have to be, but we would like it to be.
It could just be a little bit sad. All right. Anything else, Mr. Dave?
I don't think so.
Layton?
No, I'm good.
All right. Thank you guys for listening. And to wrap up, Layton, what is our word of the week?
Word of the week? Man. Oh, dear. I think it's going to be... pass.
Pass?
As in the easy pass.
Oh, okay.
I think.
That's the second week in a row where I did not get the word.
What was it supposed to make it a set? I could have done it like, RV.
No, that's fine. Pass.
Okay. All right.
All right. Thank you for listening. Do check back again next week. Next week, we're planning on having Jeffy on.
To talk about.
To delve into Anabaptists and music. Mm. And you can read the article, the blog post now if you want to. TheLightOnMyPath.com. Check it out. And then maybe you've got questions for him. I know he'd be open to that. We've got some questions for him. And he'll be playing. He'll be defending probably more of the traditional viewpoints on music, mm-hmm. and we'll be trying to throw darts at him.
Right.
And more literally than figuratively.
Yes.
I mean, who's, you know,
I mean,
probably
I,
time to Sharon.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's way more fun. And don't be afraid. Like, you know, if you're asking Jeff a question, he is very technically savvy when it comes to music. And so don't be afraid to, like, get really specific and use terms like syncopation and what are more musical terms? And harmonic,
there are actually
chromatic scales, and
there was one word he used that I had to look up because I wasn't sure what it meant.
Oh, it was timber.
Timber, yeah,
yeah, timber, yeah. Okay. So. Yeah, but if it's also just like a general, like, maybe you don't know that much about music, but you still have a question about it, it doesn't have to be super technical either. Mm-hmm. So we'll take all questions of all varieties.
We will. And for those, again, just email them or send a Facebook message. So thank you for listening. Thank you, Mr. Dave, for joining us.
No problem.
We'll see you guys next week.